Simon put out his hand timidly to touch Ralph, but Ralph started to run, splashing through the shallow end of the bathing pool, across the hot white sand, and under the palms. A moment later, he was battling with the complex undergrowth that was already engulfing the scar. Simon ran after him, then Morris. Piggy shouted, "Ralph! Please, Ralph!" Then he too started to run, stumbling over Morris's discarded shorts before he was across the terrace. Behind the four boys, the smoke moved gently along the horizon. And on the beach, Henry and Johnny were throwing sand at Percival, who was crying quietly again. And all three were in complete ignorance of the excitement. By the time Ralph had reached the landward end of the scar, he was using precious breath to swear. He did desperate violence to his naked body among the rasping creepers, so that blood was sliding over him. Just where the steep ascent to the mountain began, he stopped. Morris was only a few yards behind him.
"Piggy specs!" shouted Ralph. "If the fire's right out, we'll need them."
He stopped shouting and swayed on his feet. Piggy was only just visible, bumbling up from the beach. Ralph looked at the horizon, then up to the mountain. Was it better to fetch Piggy's glasses, or would the ship have gone? Or, if they climbed on, supposing the fire was right out and they had to watch Piggy crawling nearer and the ship sinking under the horizon? Balanced on a high peak of need, agonized by indecision, Ralph cried out, "Oh, God! Oh, God!" Simon, struggling with bushes, caught his breath. His face was twisted. Ralph blundered on, savaging himself as the wisp of smoke moved on. The fire was dead. They saw that straight away, saw what they had really known down on the beach when the smoke of home had beckoned. The fire was right out, smokeless and dead. The watchers were gone. A pile of unused fuel lay ready. Ralph turned to the sea. The horizon stretched, impersonal once more, barren of all but the faintest trace of smoke. Ralph ran stumbling along the rocks, saved himself on the edge of the pink cliff, and screamed at the ship, "Come back! Come back!" He ran backwards and forwards along the cliff, his face always to the sea, and his voice rose insanely, "Come back! Come back!" Simon and Morris arrived. Ralph looked at them with unwinking eyes. Simon turned away, smearing the water from his cheeks. Ralph reached inside himself for the worst word he knew. "They let the bloody fire out!" He looked down the unfriendly side of the mountain. Piggy arrived out of breath and whimpering like a little one. Ralph clenched his fists and went very red. The intentness of his gaze, the bitterness of his voice pointed for him. "There they are!" A procession had appeared far down among the pink screes that lay near the water's edge. Some of the boys wore black caps, but otherwise they were almost naked. They lifted sticks in the air together whenever they came to an easy patch. They were chanting, something to do with the bundle that the errant twins carried so carefully. Ralph picked out Jack easily, even at that distance, tall, red-haired, and inevitably leading the procession. Simon looked now from Ralph to Jack, as he had looked from Ralph to the horizon, and what he saw seemed to make him afraid. Ralph said nothing more, but waited while the procession came nearer. The chant was audible, but at that distance still wordless. Behind Jack walked the twins carrying a great stake on their shoulders. The gutted carcass of a pig swung from the stake, swinging heavily as the twins toiled over the uneven ground. The pig's head hung down with gaping neck and seemed to search for something on the ground. At last the words of the chant floated up to them across the bowl of blackened wood and ashes.
"Kill the pig! Cut her throat! Spill her blood!"
Yet as the words became audible, the procession reached the steepest part of the mountain. and in a minute or two the chant had died away. Piggy snivelled, and Simon shushed him quickly as though he had spoken too loudly in church. Jack, his face smeared with clays, reached the top first, and hailed Ralph excitedly with lifted spear.
"Look! We've killed a pig! We stole up on them! We got in a circle!"
Voices broke from the hunters.
"We got in a circle! We crept up! The pig squealed!"
The twins stood with the pig swinging between them, dropping black gouts on the rock. They seemed to share one wide, ecstatic grin. Jack had too many things to tell Ralph at once. Instead, he danced a step or two, then remembered his dignity and stood still, grinning. He noticed blood on his hands and grimaced distastefully, looked for something on which to clean them, then wiped them on his shorts and laughed. Ralph spoke. "You let the fire out." Jack checked, vaguely irritated by this irrelevance, but too happy to let it worry him.
"We can light the fire again. You should have been with us, Ralph. We had a smashing time. The twins got knocked over. We hit the pig. I fell on top.
I cut the pig's throat," said Jack proudly, and yet twitched as he said it.
"Can I borrow yours, Ralph, to make a nick in the hilt?"
The boys chattered and danced. The twins continued to grin.
"There was lashings of blood," said Jack, laughing and shuddering. "You should have seen it. We'll go hunting every day."
Ralph spoke again, hoarsely. He had not moved.
"You let the fire out."
This repetition made Jack uneasy. He looked at the twins and then back at Ralph.
"We had to have them in the hunt," he said, "or there wouldn't have been enough for a ring."
He flushed, conscious of a fault.
"The fire's only been out an hour or two. We can light up again."
He noticed Ralph's scarred nakedness and the somber silence of all four of them. He sought, charitable in his happiness, to include them in the thing that had happened. His mind was crowded with memories. Memories of the knowledge that had come to them when they closed in on the struggling pig, knowledge that they had outwitted a living thing, imposed their will upon it, taken away its life, like a long, satisfying drink. He spread his arms wide.
"You should have seen the blood!"
The hunters were more silent now, but at this they buzzed again. Ralph flung back his hair, one arm pointed at the empty horizon. His voice was loud and savage and struck them into silence.
"There was a ship!"
End of Disc 2.